show. And oh my goodness, I'm so excited about talking with this guest today. I'm excited to welcome CEO Tom Sellers. And Tom Sellers is from the company Sellers. Tom, how are you? And it's so intriguing. Tell me how this whole CEO thing started. Where did you, how you ended up becoming the CEO of this company?
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. And I went online and looked at your background. It's fascinating as well. So a pleasure to be on your show. The way I ended up being CEO of the business is we're actually a first generation startup. So my wife and I were actually first career investment business, and my brother, and then shortly thereafter my other brother joined them, and we did a literal startup out of a garage with the first office in my brother's basement. So
really, wow, that story. So what year was that?
Pardon?
When did you start the startup?
1985. So we're at 39th year.
Wow. Yeah. Holy cow. And what was your background before doing that, deciding this?
Well, I was in the investment business. So I had been an entrepreneur as a kid, and I did stuff in the music business, and I was able to get work for a public investment company, went to Minneapolis. And so I was doing that and had saved money. And my wife and I, you know, along with parents, funded my brother, and my other brother moved back from Colorado, and family business, two brothers. And that goes on. And in the late 90s, we had a chance to get into a much bigger market. And I made the decision to leave and to join my brothers and help lead the business. And so so I ended up being, you know, I was chairman of the board at the time. And then when I transitioned, we were working together, and then worked into the role that I've had for now for quite some time. So I'm both chair of the board and the CEO.
Do you know how many stories of people working out of their basement or their garage have been successful entrepreneurs that have been like, the stories are crazy, right?
The rent is good, right? There's no extra rent. So when you're an entrepreneur and you know that most companies fail in the first year or two, you've got to watch.
I never thought of that when I started. Okay. And I'll start another business. I didn't know that. And I'm learning it much more and more on the marketing side, but also owning other companies. And I'm like, oh, but it's easy. All you have to do is get sales.
Well, sales is the water that lifts all boats, except once you get the sales, then you got to be able to execute it.
That's true. You have to execute, but all you have to get sales. And a lot of people, the reason they fail is they don't get sales.
You got to have a product that people want. You got to start with the sales. And then in our case, we had stuff manufactured for us. Then we decided to become a manufacturer. And then one thing leads to another. And now, you know, you end up being a 24/7 manufacturer, multi-site, automated equipment, CapEx, all that stuff. But for us, it happened over a long period of time.
And what was the vision of this company from the beginning in 1980?
Well, my brother's, John's original vision was he wanted products originally in industrial plants. If there was a leak, drip, or spill, you'd see this kitty litter of stuff called oil dry. And it's a mine mineral. It's not very absorbent. It gets in machines, and it's a safety hazard. So we had this idea about a product to replace that for industrial maintenance, and started with that in mind, with these absorbent mats and pads and socks and things. And so that got us started and got us into the industrial commercial segment. But then it was really the late 90s when we got into this much larger wiping technology, wiper towel technology, that really drove our growth.
It definitely seems like it definitely drove your growth and in so many ways. But what makes you different to your competitors?
Well, what makes us different, what's unique, is this. So one of the challenges with sustainable products is, you go back to your thing about sales, right? So their selling proposition wouldn't work because it was, hey, buy my product. It's less harmful to the environment. Yeah, you got to pay more. And oh, by the way, it doesn't work. So when you buy... When you buy a recycled kitchen towel, you know, it falls apart, right? So then in the kitchen towel market, you have three leading brands that use virgin pulp, and they're the premium performance. So what makes us different is we have proprietary technology that can take recycled waste and reprocess that into making the best performing product. So in our segment, we're the only company in the world that can do that. And so in our newest product, which took forever to invent and patent, our Bravo paper towel, we're actually taking curbside recycling. So, you know, your boxes and your paper waste you put out of the curb, we take that and we reprocess that, and we make a kitchen towel that's the best overall performing towel yet it's made from curbside recycling.
And you never thought you'd go to that vertical, right? To the consumer like that, especially when you really picked a good niche area in manufacturing when you talk about industrial and different places like that, because
we had a pretty long-term vision and in sort of this 20-year vision plan that we had, this was what we thought would be kind of the last big piece for us if we could master the other things. We started in the commercial wiping market. We then went into the do-it-yourself, like Home Depot, Lowe's, places like that, doing our shop towels and our white rags. And that gave us more and more experience. It gave us experience building a national brand. And then once we had the product nailed, then we decided it's time for us to move to the kitchen towel consumer market.
Are you a public or private company?
Private, yeah.
Okay. Are you ever thinking of going public?
Well, I came from that world, and so the answer is no.
Why? Can you say that? Can you share that with me?
Well, there's advantages to being private, and so I don't want to be running a business based on quarterly earnings. And we run a business traditionally, but there are some pros and cons to it, and so we're happy being private. Although I have an outside board that I recruited and raised some minority capital along the way, so I think we have the best of both worlds. So we're happy being a high growth private company.
What's the advantage of being a public versus private company? Because you're knowledgeable in this stuff, or the other way around.
If you're a public company, you have a liquid stock, and so you can raise capital easier. People who own your stock can sell your stock, but you have a bunch of reporting requirements. And you have all these analysts who follow stocks to say buy it, hold it, sell it, and they're always trying to get your earnings and what the quarterly earnings. And the markets tend to really punish companies if they miss an earning, or and business isn't always that predictable. So as a private company, we're able to make intermediate, longer-term decisions without the pressure of being public. And so I like having that, really the flexibility to really be long-term oriented in how we think about our business, how we manage.
How about a private company? Could it be as large as the public company being private?
Sure. There are some huge private companies.
Oh, really? I didn't know. Tell me about that. That's interesting. They kind of get that education.
Well, one of our customers is Georgia Pacific. That's owned by Koch, K-O-C-H, and that's one of the largest companies, and it's private. So it's actually owned by a private family company. Cargill is another one. I think they may be still the largest privately held company. That's a huge commodity and financial services company. So there are a number of companies that are successful. There are, when you get into the smaller mid-sized market, you get more and more private companies than you do when you get to the really big ones.
And there's good and bad to it. So Bravo's it now. This is the big thing you're trying to promote right now.
We're still growing, have high growth in our core market. So what we're doing with our white rags and shop towels in nationally, we're really doing great there, growing there, growing our commercial segment. But this is our next launch of our proprietary technology. So it's now just starting. And we're optimistic, and we know.
I think you really have it. When I've touched your product, especially used your paper towels, and I feel specifically enough the other products and how well they're packaged, because that's important. Packaging is huge, because if you're gonna see where you can't open your package, then that's not good. To how it's, of ripping them off. The when you're looking at sustainability stuff, you really do lose a lot of compared to ones that are not very environmental friendly.
Right.
And so it's really true.
Yeah. And so actually it's a marketing challenge for us, right? So people think of sustainability, it's popular, that ought to be great, make it easier. It actually is a challenge, because in our space, the consumer's been trained that if it's recycled, it's lousy. So we have to overcome the fact that we actually offer the best performance. And then we also offer this compact or compressed packaging. So what's happened in the last 10 years is those paper towel rolls, they put more and more air in them, they bulk them up, and you think you're getting more, but it's sort of like the Frito bag where there's only four Fritos in the bag, right? So we've gone the other direction, which is actually better for the environment, less ecological footprint, and actually we take up less space on the shelf with the retailer. So if we have the same sales as our competitor, we actually are more profitable on shelf per square inch. So
I see it as a challenge, but you're right. Cause I start thinking about when I think of paper towels, there's sustainability. Okay. I think of Whole Foods, and I think of going to Whole Foods and seeing, no, thank you.
Right. It's high price and they don't work. Right. So
no, thank you. They're like small, tiny. You're paying one of them like $7, right? Or $8. And you're like, why am I going to pay this expense? And then it's not going to be what it is.
Right. And so, but any challenge can become an opportunity because we're so unique and no one can follow us. We believe that through good marketing and the right partners that we can get trial. So the big thing is, one big step is developing the product. The second step is how do we get on shelf to get distribution? The next step is how do we get people to try it? And then if we can get them to try it, what we know by building our brand in the shop towel and white rag category is that our product will then sell itself. So we've done it the hard way places nationally like Home Depot and others. So we're going to take that expertise and experience and applying that into the consumer towel market. And we've got a great launch partner with Target, which is launching.
Wow.
So we're starting out with 306 stores and Target online, and that'll give us some nice learning. And from there we'll expand.
So once you went to like places like Home Depot and stuff, what were your biggest challenges? Because I have a client right now that also, like I said, I'm an owner of the company, and they said that's challenging with certain size businesses when it comes to retail, because you really have a lot of work you have to do. People don't think that, right? It's on the shelves. It's all I need, right?
That's just the start of it, right? But it is really hard to get on shelf, especially in the days when we were a smaller company and we were trying to get into retail, and we're trying to at that time. You know, we were displacing, still are displacing, a main competitor who'd been around a long time, big public company, and we're the little innovative startup, right? So they wonder, can you actually execute? Can you ship on time? Is it the quality right? And so the first couple are the hardest to get. And as we were successful in those, we started building a good client list. And then where we are today, everybody knows we can execute well because of our customer list. And then of course you get on shelf, and then you got to get people to try it and use it, and you got to, you know, they vote for you every time they either buy the product or don't buy the product. So you've got to earn that customer loyalty and success through being, for our proposition, it's high quality, cost effective, and sustainable. And so we don't sacrifice on the performance or on the price point. And then we deliver the last one for free.
So thinking of the merchandising sales, you think of the days of the grocery stores and how, you know, certain merchandisers help really well for products to get moving. How do you, when you first went to Home Depot, get your product to move, especially if you're more commercial based, more ship based, meaning manufacturers that were getting or picking them off of maybe a catalog or whatever they were ordering, and then go right to the retail? What do you think of those biggest challenges were? You know, like,
it was a huge challenge to get on shelf. I mean, it took years. Each one of our main retail customers took years to get. Just incredible persistence by my brother John, who was leading that effort, and it just took years of persistence. So getting on takes years. When you get on, then it's how do you merchandise your product? You got to be visible and available. We would also look for any kind of promotional opportunities. In fact, still are. I think it's still going on right now. If you go into Home Depot, we have the fence line promotion. So if you walk in Home Depot, you know where that big wall of product is. You can't miss it when you get to the store. We have that promotion nationwide right now. So you know, getting that point where you have the most coveted space in a store like that, it it's a journey of executing well all along the way and having satisfied customers.
All right. And that's the important thing. What is your most popular product right now?
My what?
Most popular product.
It's certainly in DIY. It's both the shop towels, blue shop towels that are there, and the white rags. In the commercial market, it's our Toolbox brand for commercial wiping and cleaning. And then, you know, the branded product, Bravo, which is our kitchen towel, which is going into mass merchandise and grocery. So they each have the popularity. They're actually growing. And so, you know, we're a growth company and we keep reinvesting our earnings to grow the business.
So price point for Bravo paper towels versus your competitors, they're what's the difference?
Well, we're competitive with the three leading brands in price.
Really? That's great.
And we're delivering better overall performance and we're providing more sheets.
Wow.
So like we in this case, the six pack that's behind me, you see it's six rolls. that's equivalent of 18 regular roles because our roles are compressed. And so we're going the other direction. Being an innovator is tough, but if you can ultimately win, you've got the space to yourself. Everybody else pumped in air and took sheets out. We put more sheets in, and we're delivering more value versus those mega roles that no one's really got the space for, a six pack of those things or even space on the kitchen counter. So we're doing it differently. We know it's going to be difficult and hard, but we think we can persist, and with good marketing and good retail partners can win.
Absolutely. What is your hopes for the company?
Well, my first hope for the company, I have to say this, is that everybody stays safe. So safety is our first thing. We care about our people. And so the hope is that we continue to operate safely. Then beyond that is that our products are successful. We serve our customers well. And then through that, we're good stewards of our people, providing great jobs, great opportunity for advancement, great healthcare, great retirement plan, home ownership program. And the hope is that we continue to grow as we have, and we continue to add more people, and we could continue to change the lives of the people that are partners here that make it happen. You know, and it's, I tell our people all the time, what I make them chant it. I say, what makes a great company? And they all have to yell, great people. So, you know, the hope is we continue to do what we've been doing and continue to have it be a high growth company.
Now, do you see with the competitors, especially going into Bravo, and I'm sure you're going to have other products as well that are going to compete with the other types of things. I could see you guys have innovative ideas later on to add other components based on your proven technology. Do you feel that that at one point one of your competitors will try to buy you out?
Well, I mean, we have interest because of what we've been able to carve out and it is a very competitive. I highly respect our competitors. They're really strong companies. They're tough competitors, and I don't take any of that lightly. And they make our job harder and harder. But you know, we're now well known in the industry, and as really an innovator and a company that's doing it differently. So, you know, it gains attraction from other companies, but you know, we're still private.
I see it's such an innovative thing that if more and more people would know, especially in the space of green technology and green, you will really, that's the hard part. We're finding them, right? You know, they're at the Whole Foods, you know, they're at the specific other places, but how people choose based on sustainability. And that is your biggest, you're going to get other people to just buy the products. It's great. But then finding these people, they're going to be like, I'm switching tomorrow, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that it was our biggest salesperson, biggest advocates are our customers. I mean, it's really the old school word of mouth. We're making customers happy. They feel good value. They're rebuying. They're telling their friends. And it was just like the buyer at Target. We'd send them a bunch of product, and we had the remote line review. And I got introduced. He was introduced, and we had teams of people there. And I said, hey, did you get the product? Oh, did I get the product? I said, well, what do you think? Oh, my wife and I, we love it. So when you guys send me so much stuff, I give it to my neighborhood. I'm the hero of the neighborhood. And yeah, you know, it does. I mean, so that's the thing is we just got to get in the hands of people and let them use it. And we're also the only towel that's reusable. You can rinse and reuse our towel. So not only are we taking cardboard boxes and paper waste to repurpose, but you can rinse and reuse it. I tell my wife, look, I can get you another roll, but she'll make one sheet last for days.
So how did you guys come up with this technology? Which is like, what was there like a special, some brain said, let's figure out one that's going to be good.
Well, there was an inventor and this technology was a trade secret and of a public company at the time that got acquired, and the key people weren't retained. And it went legally into public domain. And so we went and got the band back together. We got the inventor and the key people.
Wow.
So the company that had acquired their big company got the business, and they got the manufacturing assets, they got the brands, they got the customers, but they didn't keep the key people. And so we got the key people. We recruit them. My other brother, Bill, did a great job recruiting, and three brothers got people on board. And we, in the case of the inventor, the main person, we gave him a lifetime contract that survived his death. And he passed about a year and a half ago, and they're still providing income for his wife. So we got these people who weren't treated well at the end, and we treated them well and they became part of our team. And we had a collective vision and we then took that core technology and then advanced it. And so originally the technology was only using premium virgin. And one of the things I was driving was this recycled piece. And so over time, with a lot of patience and persistence, we then advanced the technology and got to the point we're at now.
And so at one point, your goal is to be the one in sustainability in any types of products, it looks like. At one point, you talked about the employees. I'm very impressed that you talk about how important your employees are, the whole entire team to be taken care of and to continue to grow as a company. I think that's showing the strength of a CEO, not saying, okay, we're just looking at specifically the bottom line. We're going to keep growing to a level. We want to continue to have happy employees and continue to grow the company and to provide a service. I mean, provide a product that's just not out there to this level.
Yeah. And so it's not, I feel proud of what we've done in terms of the products and the customers and where we're distributed. But I especially feel good about the lives, you know, that get changed. And we have great livable wages and our people do well and they provide for their families and it makes me proud. I mean, we're a Big Ten company, we're diverse company-wide, we're 55% people of color. We have the female chief operating officer in the industry, our head of HR is Hispanic. I mean, we have diversity and we try to build what we have in common. Doesn't mean we always agree. No, we disagree, but we try to have a respectful environment where we all are focused on what we have in common and our common purpose and our shared success. So I'm really proud of that too. People don't see that because, you know, when they're buying a product, but that's the company and the culture that's behind the products.
Where do you want, like, my thoughts when just my brainstorming things, your factory's located where?
We have about
Milwaukee, you said? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe roughly over 500,000 square feet. I don't know, it's maybe approaching 600,000, but we're at 5 sites here in Milwaukee.
Awesome. Well, it's definitely an interesting story. I think that it's one that could be a movie or a series, especially that would get that word out even further as me as a brainstormer. And I'm sure you did a research on me and seeing
just fascinating. I'd love to have the opportunity to interview you. You're under grad school and I saw the graduate thing and the wrestling and I thought it was pretty cool. So
it's a good background and it continues to grow. My documentary will be going out in Seed and Spark on the 16th where I'll really be pushing that. I'm also shopping around the script for a Road Warriors movie written by Chris Mulkey. I'm diversifying in multiple ways. It's like, once you get to a certain point, you're like, well, why can't I do that? So that's where we started Media Giant production and productions, which I've not even announced yet, where we're going to take with my film partner, Lefty, my filmmaker. We're going to start taking books to movies, other documentaries. I'm just really intrigued about the marketplace for content that's needed. And the thing, the missing component is I come up with ideas and people run with them. Right. And that's the key thing.
Well, you know, we share the heart of we're entrepreneurs, right? I just heard you say, why can't I do it? I mean, it starts with the idea and a belief that you can do something, doesn't it? And then it's persistence and adjustment and you know what? And it's hard work.
Oh yeah.
Easy path.
We work with the people. That's the other part, that you might have a significant other or someone behind. When you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to work a ton. And at one point you'll continue to work and it's fun. We have a different makeup. Okay. I'm not to the level you are, but I'm getting there. But meaning, like, you know,
I'm older.
Yeah. Not my show. I'm talking, you know, as now an entrepreneur on multiple businesses and figuring this out. But I'm like, it's some fun. I remember Grant Cardone saying, I'm not going on the golf course all weekend and playing. I'm going to go and do business, network, and things like that. That's my fun. That's my relaxation. Yeah. That's honestly what an entrepreneur is.
Yeah, and I've learned, you know, I don't have a dimmer switch. I just have an on-off switch, you know? So I got to then be careful as what I do because, if I'm serving on a board or, you know, some other idea. So I've just got a big on-off switch and I'm in or I'm not.
But that's because we come with ideas, say how we can make it happen and let's do it and why not do it. Okay. Yeah. Where can people find info on you real quick for the company and everything? Best place. Where can we find info? Best place for everybody.
You can look up Sellers, S-E-L-L-E-R-S on the web and see our website. And you can see it's available at a whole host of retailers throughout the U.S. And hey, I wanted to plug one more thing, which is this was one of my cups that I bought all the employees. Look, if they can, the Apollo 13 people, you know, engineers can get them back from the moon. That was their slogan, you know. So
I love it. Yeah. You're amazing, and I think that you'll see the way I interview, and I have fun, and I'm glad now I'm building this live audience that's enjoying it because we're seeing those streaming going up. I wasn't even looking to do streaming. I said, well, if I want 1080 quality, HD quality video, I have to go that way. I don't want to go and just record it. Let's have fun, and it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, it's fun talking to you. When I'm interviewing people, I know people are watching live. I did this for my Learning Clubhouse when I was one of the micro influencers on Clubhouse till it died, but I was getting a big audience as 300-400 people in the room all the time, and I talked. And I listen and think about what the audience wants to ask next. What entrepreneur getting to talk to a CEO, what would they want to learn? And you taught me things today, and we appreciate that.
I appreciate your interest. I appreciate you reaching out and having the conversation. And it's always great to meet new people, you know, and that are interesting and from different walks of life, you know? So,
oh yeah. And I'm getting in many, many different industries. As one thing, I did an AI thing, because AI has taught me I can take over the world in anything I want, and that I don't need 20 years of something. I just need to have an idea and be able to really ask the right questions, learn. I just learned today about what the difference between a public and private company is. I'll take that information to people and say, this is the difference. Well, oh, we got to go public. Well, you better watch out, because you might go public and it just might not work out at all.
Capital without going public, then you could have the best of both worlds. So.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.